Vietnam is forecasted to be one of the fastest growing economies in Southeast Asia and the world. To understand the dynamics behind Vietnam's miracle growth, Vietcetera meets with business leaders in our Vietnam Innovators series every week to discuss the country's future growth prospects. We also learn from the leaders about how they build and manage teams and why they think innovation will be key to Vietnam's role in the world order. TIMO, one of Vietnam's first digital banks, has recently relaunched with a new banking partner and boasts one of the country's largest engaged online banking communities. So what is the story of this brand? And what is the general outlook for the fintech and banking sector in Vietnam? You're listening to Vietnam Innovators with me, Hao Tran. This week, we're logging on with TIMO's marketing director, Manisha Philip. A Mumbai, India transplant with deep roots in the advertising industry, mostly having served in the Middle East, Manisha has overseen TIMO's marketing and user acquisition efforts for nearly 4 years. The Indian marketing guru swapped Mumbai for Dubai, then Dubai for Ho Chi Minh City, building her track record in advertising along the way, until finding her way to fintech and the digital bank startup, TIMO. Now, Manisha and her team are gearing up for the latest challenge, to find new ways to acquire customers in one of the toughest and most competitive industries, that being financial services, in a greenfield market like Vietnam, where reportedly the unbanked population still outnumbers the banked. Here now is Manisha Philip with a story, where she also offers some valuable advice for those investigating a fintech venture in Vietnam. But before we begin, we'd also like to extend a big thanks to our sponsors, health tech startup GeoHealth. GeoHealth is known for their innovative products and services to improve the healthcare system in Vietnam. Pay a visit to one of their new smart clinics at M Plaza in Ho Chi Minh City for the latest, or download one of their mobile apps on the App Store or Google Play for more. Good morning, everybody. This is Hao, your host of the next episode of Vietnam Innovators. We're super happy to welcome our newest guest onto the show today, Manisha Philip. She's the marketing director of TIMO, a fintech e-wallet company based here in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. Welcome to our studio, Manisha.
Thanks, Hao. I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's just start off. You know, you're obviously not Vietnamese. And from what I understand, you've never really worked in financial services, but you've done a lot of parallel businesses, advertising. How did you end up working at a fintech company in Vietnam, of all places, as someone that's not Vietnamese?
Yeah, that was chance. I would like to say chance that I worked, came up on a TIMO opportunity. Mm-hmm. But Vietnam for me was one of those untapped markets that had, you know, huge potential. Mm-hmm. So coming from an ad world and little bit of the, you know, traditional banking experience, because I worked on brands like Standard Chartered, Citibank, some local banks based out of Dubai, I did have a bit of the knowledge. So the fit moving into fintech was obviously a partner of my digital experience on digital advertising and then traditional banking. But I think the fintech experience has been quite interesting. It's been a learning curve. It's been, you know, on a fast sort of trajectory for growth, especially in Asia. And I think Vietnam is one of those places where it's only going up.
And how many years have you been with TIMO now?
I am coming up on 4 years at TIMO and 5 years in Vietnam.
Well, congratulations. That's quite a milestone.
I think
TIMO, like for most of you, our followers that probably know too, like 4 years at any startup, still technically a startup, is a lifetime. So maybe you can share about like, you know, TIMO for, startup. What is TIMO exactly? Give us your elevator pitch. And why do you think you're still with the company after so long? Like, what motivates you to continue growing this application? And what's the opportunity for not only for you, but also for the company in Vietnam?
Yeah. Great question. Obviously, coming into TIMO was back in 2017. It had already been 2 years sort of established as a fintech, as a startup. But coming from, you know, India or even Dubai, where digital banking is sort of normal. I mean, I'm sure you know, coming from the US, it's not something that you think twice about because it's almost second nature. But in Vietnam, digital banking because it's not trusted as an industry. Banking
Why is it
in
not
itself,
trusted?
I think banking in itself is just not a trusted.
People like to keep gold.
People want to keep cash in their mattresses. They want to, you know, gold is like the biggest investment. So that was the first sort of opportunity. Mm. How do you get people who are coming into internet and using the internet on their phones for the first time? Mm-hmm.
How many people are banked in Vietnam? So it's population of 100 million. How many are unbanked?
94 million is what is the population. Wow. About 35 million are in urban, in the urban areas, and that's where majority of banked population is.
And how many of those
30-40%
are?
They say 30-40% is what is banked. Yeah, that's a big.
Yeah, I remember I was my housekeeper who's been with me for a couple years. Yeah. When she first started with us, she takes care of the office and whatnot. She actually took payment by cash. And at some point when we were scaling, we're almost 70 full-time staff now. Right. I was asking, could we move to banking? She's like, I don't have one.
Yeah.
So I kind of forced her to open it because it's just so much easier. And a couple months later, she's like, wow, I should have done this earlier.
Yeah.
You know, so people don't seem to not only trust it, but they don't seem to know the benefits of it.
Right.
And what are the benefits of using something like Timo?
Well, I think in the case of Timo, we're still only focusing on an urban population, right? Just because we are present in just the four main cities, Ho Chi Minh, Hanoi, Da Nang, and Cần Thơ.
And when you say present,
so
talk about the I think physical locations that you guys have, because digital usually means digital, but you're omnichannel.
I think that's the biggest hurdle we've had. When we say we're digital, I would say we're about 95% digital, because yes, you can do everything through the app, and that's just what we want people to do. But regulation in Vietnam requires a wet signature to complete the process of opening an account. It's not the same for a wallet, because a wallet is not essentially a bank account. So for a bank account, you need to do a wet signature. Different banks do it differently. They send a sales team, get you to sign what is called a KYC document or a Know Your Customer document. So the reason for us having that sort of presence, even though we've innovated on what that looks like. It's kind of like a coffee shop concept, you know, just chill,
hang out.
That's what we call it, Timo Hangouts.
Do people hang out there? Like,
people do hang out there. We have to tell them, sorry, you can't hang out here if you're not opening an account or doing something. Yeah. So people do want to walk in just for a coffee.
They're confused. They don't even know that it's a bank. They just think it's a
coffee
shop.
That's exactly it. So we have regular.
It's almost a form of customer acquisition, though, for you guys, it sounds like.
It is. It does work out to be that way because, you know, when people do walk in, they think it's a coffee shop and then they go, oh, it's a bank account, and then or it's a bank, and you go, okay, we can open a bank account, and you're sipping a cup of coffee, and it's very small in terms of a percentage, because obviously initiatives are digitally driven to acquire customers.
It's expensive, too, I'm sure.
It is.
You guys have an office right on Pastor Street, one of our biggest kind
So
of
that's the flagship. The Ho Chi Minh City Pastor Office is the flagship.
How did you guys choose these, Hanoi, Ho Chi Minh City, that obviously makes a lot of sense. Population.
Just pure population. I mean, you know, you want to start off with a concept. So I think I wasn't there at the inception, obviously, back in 2015. But just in terms of, receptiveness to something that's so different. So whereas banks would predominantly have their presence as a headquarter out of Hanoi, you're thinking most banks have their headquarters out of Hanoi. And we sort of went around with looking at the population of Ho Chi Minh City. They're more receptive. They want to try new things. So the flagship was based out of Ho Chi Minh City. And then we went into Hanoi, and it was just population.
And does the user kind of base reflect that mentality of
absolutely.
Maybe Saigonese are more willing to adopt these digital practices, whereas people elsewhere aren't? Could you share the
absolutely.
Breakdown in terms of percentage?
Well, from all of the four, metropolises we're in, Saigon accounts for about 60% of the customers. Hanoi is about 20. And then between Da Nang and Cần Thơ, we spread out the
it's
remaining
actually not
10.
Bad. I mean, we kind of, at Vietcetera, we're kind of approaching the same challenges. I mean, we're not in the banking industry, but as a media company and as a digitally native company, we're all based here. We've just opened an Hanoi office. We have a couple staff there now. And we're looking at the population sizes, and the two are essentially the same. Yet when it looks at our readership, maybe it's because we're here, we have more people here, and there's that community kind of on the ground kind of presence. But our readership is around those same numbers too, I would say, like 60, 20, 20 elsewhere. But is there, you know, there's always this stereotype of like, oh, Hanoi is never fast adopters, you know, they're slower doing business or they're more conservative or whatever. For the efforts that you guys have put in Hanoi so far, do you think that maybe there's more to do there, or is it you just want to kind of double down on Saigon? You
think? No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hanoi has always been a pain point, especially for me as a marketer. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of things that kind of go into Hanoi. Mm-hmm. I think people need a lot more time to be convinced about something, mm-hmm. right? So as much as you can drive advocacy or mm-hmm. people talk about it, which we find works really well in Ho Chi Minh City, like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of chatter about Timo, and then, you know, people refer Timo to other people, and that's kind of where the biggest amount of adoption comes in. But yeah. in Hanoi, it's so hard to crack that market. Yeah. So there's a lot of, I think, initiatives that we've got planned, mm-hmm. which involve, sadly, physical presence. Mm-hmm. So it does need to be, you see it, mm-hmm. then you see it in what is perceived to be traditional channels.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I might need to do outdoor, which is... Mm-hmm. goes against what I want to do. Instinct. Yeah, because yeah. that's kind of not what we focus on. If we're digital,
yeah.
everything should be digital because everyone's accessing their phones, and that's yeah. that's the easiest sort of channel for someone to see us. But yeah. but that's what Hanoi is. So mm-hmm. people want obviously a little more of the interaction on a physical level. They need to see it, I think, and touch it, which is where we've sort of done a bit of research to figure out, okay, we might need to have a little more locations. Mm-hmm. Maybe we even need to do a bit more events, get a bit experiential mm-hmm. in that area. Mm-hmm. And that's where the efforts are going to be put towards 2021.
Yeah, so, well, looking yeah. forward to 2021. You know, we've got the marketing director of a fintech company here. Maybe aside from the out-of-home and experiential things, or maybe you can elaborate on those, what do those activities look like exactly? Timo, you obviously have the kind of brick and mortar locations, do a lot of digital. You have the referral program, which I believe is very successful. Mm-hmm. What are some other things that you're looking to do this coming year that maybe you haven't done so much or have not at all that maybe you can share, yeah. even if it's just tidbits here?
Yeah. yeah. Well, I think the biggest, I guess, excitement point or delight for me as a marketer and in looking into what Timo has sort of done recently, which mm-hmm. is shift from one partner to another is a big move, which
when
is positive.
When you say partners, you guys work with a yeah. kind of retail bank.
Right. Okay. So I guess to put some context, Timo mm-hmm. is technically mm-hmm. a software or a digital platform. Mm-hmm. We don't have a banking license. Mm-hmm. And that's just how a lot of the fintechs sort of operate. Mm-hmm. You partner with a core bank mm-hmm. or a traditional bank.
And you offer,
in this case, it's now Viet Capital Bank.
Viet Capital. Okay.
We were with VP Bank before, mm-hmm. 5 years, good partnership mm-hmm. At the time. But of course, considering what we want to do, which is sort of obviously tap into that market mm-hmm. that is unbanked mm-hmm. In the urban areas, mm-hmm. it's also about building sort of an ecosystem.
Okay.
And I think part of what we've done on a marketing or, you know, acquisition base, just using digital channels has been good. Mm-hmm. It's been very successful. But obviously, people do need to see who you partner with. Mm-hmm. What else can a banking system or a bank give you? Not just your traditional pay bills mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. money transfers or insurance, which, you know, Banca is part of all mm-hmm. banks' offerings at the moment. It's now looking at how do we get tied up with education? Mm-hmm. How do we get tied up with, of course, loans form a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So whether it's investments into or loans for cars, home, travel, mm-hmm. but also looking at e-commerce. So it's kind of looking at an ecosystem that you build around using partners that mm-hmm. either are with the bank.
They have a user base already that they can transfer over.
Well, we're trying to keep those separate because what Viet Capital's focus has been is predominantly on corporate and SME. Mm. So they've recently sort of looked at partnering with a lot of fintechs just to expand sort of the retail arm.
Okay.
So their focus hasn't really been on retail. So that's how there's no competition, essentially, mm-hmm. which makes it really fluid for us to partner together, because we bring learnings that we've got over 5 years of mm-hmm. how to do digital banking mm-hmm. in the retail space on a more personal level, as well as try to plug in to their core banking and look at expanding into SME, mm-hmm. into corporate.
Gotcha.
But that wouldn't be our core focus, mm-hmm. but it would be to assist the core bank.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking a lot about basically partnerships and user sure. acquisition. And I'm thinking someone that already has a bank account, a lot of us in the urban areas sure. have bank accounts yep. already. Are you going after those customers or the ones that don't have a bank at all? And if, maybe you can elaborate what the different strategies are for both of those groups.
Well, I would like to say that in the immediate, mm-hmm. Next couple of years, we are still just looking at those that, I would say urban, whether they have a bank account or not. Mm-hmm. I think that it's probable that they will have a bank account. On an average, most people here have at least 2 bank accounts, mm. 3, and then a couple of credit cards as well. Mm. So the challenge is really, how do you convince them?
How do you become the 4th bank?
Yeah, how do you be there? Where is that going to become your first bank? Is mm-hmm. it your second bank? Mm-hmm. Is it even your bank just to mm-hmm. Transact on a daily mm-hmm. basis versus, using it for small ticket items mm-hmm. or large ticket items? So trying to find that balance over the next year mm-hmm. is kind of the focus. So we're going to stick with the urban population mm-hmm. that already have a bank account.
Got it.
Going into unbanked, going into different parts mm-hmm. of the country is massive investment. Mm-hmm. You have big banks that are already doing that. Mm-hmm.
That's just like a green field.
Vietcom Bank is the
customer
biggest.
Base, and that's yeah. where all the yeah. acquisitions going for these yeah. banks. And I'm sure advertising is very expensive because you're competing against all these big banks.
Exactly.
That have
exactly.
Much larger budgets probably than TMO.
Correct. I mean, we try to do things more on a, what I would like to call hacky kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Nimble.
Very, yeah. You have to be agile. Yeah, you got to be nimble. You got to find really tactful ways of doing things mm-hmm. that are cheap
boots
and cheerful.
And, yeah.
you literally go into small e-commerce platforms mm-hmm. or even go with small little partners mm-hmm. that offer travel services
and
or payments.
If you can just give a quick snapshot to what is the cost of user acquisition? Maybe ranges, or is that something you can share?
Well,
or maybe some discoveries you've made along the way.
Well, I guess in terms of all the channels that we've used, mm-hmm. right? If I talk about it from a marketing perspective, because mm-hmm. we focus heavily on digital and it's pure play performance marketing. So, I'll do Facebook mm-hmm. and Google and things like that, as well as existing sort of programs like referral, where one cost might have been higher, let's say paid advertising, mm-hmm. way higher, mm-hmm. $12, $15, $20.
Oh, wow. Okay.
At times, Facebook can be quite expensive. Mm. And it doesn't really necessarily bring us the highest amount of conversion in terms of customers. Mm. What does work really well for us and has always worked really well is referral.
And do you see that as the significant portion of the new acquisition?
I'm looking forward to making that the key, because it's worked for us in the past. There's mm. no reason it won't.
So how do you make that even more, a bigger share of user acquisition? So it exists and, you sign up, you get
yep.
50,000 or
yep.
whatever it is.
Yeah.
How do you even push that more? Is it putting ads on that referral program? Is it just continuing to notify existing customers? How do you incentivize existing ones to refer, aside from just offering monetary?
Well, and that's another thing that sort of works really well for the new bank that we're partnering with. Mm. It's sort of plugging into what the bank has in terms of their own ecosystem. Mm. So I guess it's more of a retention mm-hmm. push that feeds into acquisition. At the end of the day, a customer wants to know what benefits they're going to get. Mm-hmm. So a 50K benefit or a 100,000 benefit may not be good enough for me to get them active. It might bring them into the door, but that's really not what we're trying to do at this point. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that they use the mm-hmm. account, right? So we want to activate them. We want to get them to stay with us. Mm-hmm. And that ties back to, where can they use it? Mm-hmm. Get a debit card. Can I get some discounts at a Co-op Mart? Mm-hmm. Or can I, go down to Starbucks mm-hmm. or a coffee house and get some discounts? Or can I actually use it to, get CGV tickets? So it's not just giving them the cash. That's mm-hmm. really not the direction we want to go with. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that they have real benefits. And that's a big play for us in 2021.
I was thinking, you know, instead of just offering money, you can offer some sort of experience or product in return. Yeah. I see a lot of, you know, when I open a bank in the US, for example, like they give you some cash bonus when you open. But then some people are starting to give like really valuable things depending on the size of your deposit. They'd give like an iPhone
or
something.
Yeah.
That's probably not, that's like $500 or more,
right?
You know, that exceeds your $20 CAC. But do you guys see yourself moving in that direction where maybe you partner with like you
electronic
said, CJV
providers,
or, you know, they get tickets instead or, you know, maybe they get some sort of product.
Yeah.
Have you tested that? And if so, which one works better in experience?
We haven't really tested it on a scale that I can say is measurable. But of course, we have partnered with entertainment. And I think just looking at the insights of the kind of consumers we've typically targeted, they are younger. They're more receptive. 18 to 24 is about, you know, 25% of the audience. And then the 25 to 35 segment is actually quite a big audience. They're still interested in, you know, entertainment, media, travel, shopping, these are interests. So trying to make sure that those interests that they browse for or search for is also reflected in their bank is part of what we do. CGV has been a partner we've worked with. Shopee, Lazada, the big brands, we've worked with those. And that seems to be really sticky because people want that tangible
product. Those are
things
that they can go back often to.
Correct.
They use it. The touch point is
they're always using it.
You don't have to convince them to go use Shopee or use Tiki or whatever you're
it's like second nature. Yeah. It's almost second nature. And I think looking at where 2020 has been with COVID, we've seen a surge of about, you know, I think some statistics have shown that even financial payment apps, there's been a surge of about 33% to 40% of them being used and downloaded.
Has that been the case for you guys too?
For us as well.
A big increase, yeah.
So, you know, obviously, back in the early days of COVID, we didn't see, we were still TMO with VP Bank. But when we moved over to Viet Capital back in July and August, the numbers that we saw of people actually moving over to us and new customers that hadn't just been, you know, existing TMO customers, it's been phenomenal. We reported some numbers at our press con in September. In a span of 2 months, we got 100,000 customers.
Wow.
That would have been what I did in 1 year with Timo.
So what do you imagine your target being for next year? Like, do you want a 5X?
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Is it achievable?
It keeps me up at night. Okay. It's like my get my heart going. but that's it. You aim high. Maybe you know, reach for the stars. I hope we fall, we land on the moon or something. But the idea with us is go big. And it's massive. It's really massive. So the only way we get to that is to look at building a bit of a network in terms of what that ecosystem looks like, doing partnerships. Yes, we have to be experiential, whether it means you partner with, I don't know, universities and schools and do events and, you know, sponsor certain events. So there's a big play to try to make sure we're seen, because the only way I get the acquisition, sort of to come back to what you were asking me earlier about how does referral work. If people don't see us and don't find out enough about us for others to start talking, we're not going to be able to really push our existing customers to get more people to do it. Yes, there will be a percentage of them that will still invite friends, but at some point you're exhausting your list of people that you can invite. So I think top down, get out there a bit more, get a bit more branding.
And it sounds like the challenge isn't about what your guys' speed and execution is or even the market itself, but it's also the competition. I know there's a lot of new e-wallet fintech companies emerging. They're approaching it from different angles. You know, you've always got Grab kind of hanging out outside, you know, but they're through a different kind of value proposition, I guess you could say. For those that are kind of the new ones that are emerging, I mean, you guys, I guess, are new in the market in the sense you just rebranded and you have a new kind of back end and system. What are some things top of mind for you to differentiate your product and your team from all these other emerging or established fintech companies already out there? What are you guys thinking in terms of just not just advertising, but branding even? How are you guys approaching that?
Right. I think there are some similarities, and Timo tries to stay, we've tried to stay true to what we've stood for right from inception. You know, there's there's been three core values that we stand by, and that continues to be the case. It's about being accessible, mm-hmm. where you can download, use it instantly. It's still simple. Mm-hmm. We try not to complicate what the user experience is about, mm-hmm. so we want to make sure that's a key, as well as focus on lifestyle enhancing features. Mm-hmm.
Like the Hangouts. Are more Hangouts coming soon, you think?
That is also part of the plan, yes. Hangouts, but it's not just, you know, mm-hmm. the Hangout as we know it. It's mm-hmm. pop-up locations. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like trying to reinvent how we reach them. It doesn't have to be a physical brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. It's mobile, mm-hmm. for example.
Trucks coming? What do you call it? I was going to say food trucks, but you're not a food business. But
man, that's a good idea. That is exactly what I want. Thanks. I want to put a container in, you know, like a
no, I like that truck, idea. Just like it's kind of like a mobile roadshow, I guess you could say. And, you know, it's mobile. Exactly. It goes around town, just isn't restricted to one location.
But it's exactly that. Because we are in so, you know, from accessibility point of view, we mm-hmm. want people to be able to see us more, mm-hmm. to be able to come in, walk in wherever we are, even mm-hmm. if it means we're in one location for a week, mm-hmm. we're there. And then we drive people to go there, mm-hmm. you know, interact. The second thing that we always do is convenience, and that's just by virtue of it being something that you do on your phone. Mm-hmm. So we still offer you that. Mm-hmm. That's something that hasn't changed. I think the biggest change that we're trying to look for is how to bring more value, right? We already offer no fees on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You don't get charged to transfer.
Is that what make most of their money? Like through the fees, right? So how do you guys make money? That's a great question. Let's start with that. How do you guys make money if you're not charging for these transactions?
Well, that's where the partnerships come in. Mm-hmm. So yes, money,
affiliate links, and okay. Right.
So I think yes, we've always had this challenge of balancing mm-hmm. revenue with, you know, customer acquisition, mm-hmm. and as marketing, mm-hmm. if there's no revenue, my budgets suck. but that's a big focus for us. So that's mm-hmm. why the partnerships come in. So obviously every bank will. You know, the biggest sort of chunk of revenue comes from loan products, mm-hmm. And it comes from NIM, which is like net interest margin on your balance in mm-hmm. your account. Mm-hmm. So even while someone's transferring funds or you know, paying bills or doing their day-to-day transactions, mm-hmm. that's not where the biggest amount of money comes from. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that they have money in their account. Mm-hmm. So you keep your money in your account, even if you're not saving it.
Right.
You just keep it there. That earns us some interest. And then,
is that the majority of the revenue, you would
that's,
say?
That's a big chunk of the revenue. Okay. But then, of course, there is, you know, commissions with partners that we work with. So like insurance or investment partners or travel partners.
So would you say that, for you guys, since you're not a traditional bank, is a kind of a measure of health for you guys more about the number of transactions that's being made or amount of money that's deposited or both, or, you know?
Well, number of transactions really is good to show, activity right? Engagement. So it's engagement. Mm. And that's, I don't have those numbers, mm. but I know that it's pretty high.
You do, but you can't share.
but obviously it's deposits. It's obviously money.
Got it.
It's obviously keeping money in, and also credit products. Mm-hmm. So credit card, mm-hmm. loans, which we typically haven't, we've done credit cards. We've mm-hmm. had we have a Visa credit card with
how high is that adoption amongst, like, let's say 100 TMO customers? How many of them actually have the credit card?
It's very low, because mm-hmm. I think in Vietnam in general, if you look at it, 20-25% of the customers or of people have mm-hmm. credit cards.
Really?
It's not that high, but mm-hmm. it's growing. Mm-hmm. So our numbers look around 10,
why
15%.
Is there such low adoption? Is it
I think you look at credit cards and then you look at what is now consumer finance or mm-hmm. consumer lending. I think the accessibility of consumer mm-hmm. lending requirements in terms of documentation to prove that they can repay mm-hmm. mm. is higher when it comes to credit card. There's a lot more stuff that you need to provide to a bank.
And there's less like fraud protection. Is that right? Yeah. Okay.
I think with the boom of consumer lending and consumer finance companies, even though interest rate is probably as high as a credit card, mm-hmm. 35% or some ridiculous mm-hmm. number like that, the people are more willing to take a loan from a consumer finance company than they are to come to a bank and get a credit card, which is it's kind of rolling credit in mm-hmm. terms of a credit card, right? You have a limit. You mm-hmm. can use it every month versus consumer finance. You take money for what you need at that point of time, mm-hmm. and then you're paying it over a longer span of time. So maybe that's it. Maybe people don't want to have the temptation of a mm-hmm. credit card mm-hmm. because you have to repay as well.
Well, Vietnamese are also naturally a bit more savers, right? Yeah. I think I was reading something. Well, the U.S., you know, people spend a lot. But let's look at another country like Germany, where out of Europe, they're one of the few to actually still prefer cash. It's because, very stereotypical. They're good savers. Yeah. You know, they're more prudent with their money. And credit cards are somehow associated with, like, debt. Yeah. And overspending.
Yeah.
Is that sense also relevant to Vietnam? Are people more savers? Or are they more spenders? What's the case?
Well, and, you know, like, I want to liken Germany mm-hmm. or to Japan. Mm-hmm. And I think it also, if you look at the population, they aren't as young as Vietnamese, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, true, yeah.
I mean, the Vietnamese population are young. There's mm-hmm. there's a big sort of middle class that's emerging amongst the 18 to 35, I would say the millennials, definitely, yeah. right? And that's a big chunk of the population. So mm-hmm. while the stereotypical parents telling you save money is still predominant, mm-hmm. I think the culture or
the shift or the shift acceleration
is there.
Happen really fast.
It's sort of very consumeristic. People mm-hmm. want to live for today. I see that in Ho Chi Minh City. Mm-hmm. Hanoi is still adopts more of the saving approach.
Yeah.
But in Ho Chi Minh, people are what we call Henrys, which mm-hmm. is high earners, not rich yet.
Mm.
So there's a lot of disposable income. Mm-hmm. They want to spend it. Mm-hmm. They spend it on things that enhance their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Savings comes in, but savings is also sort of is not demystified yet, right? Mm-hmm. Where do we save? How do we save? Investments, oh my God, that means mutual funds and stocks and shares. We don't know about that.
Is there enough but content out there about those areas?
Not enough.
Okay.
And that's a big part of what we try to do. So, yes, looking at insurance or mm-hmm. savings or investments, you know, doing efforts in SEO to be top of mind when someone's searching for stuff mm-hmm. that relates to, I mean, even if it has to be saving in Bitcoin, which is mm-hmm. still not something banks will do.
Right.
But that's part of the banking and financial ecosystem. It's a method of payment. It is a form of currency. Mm-hmm. So how do you educate people about it? Whether or not we have it on our platform,
mm-hmm.
it's about giving people that knowledge. And I see the shift. I think people want to save mm-hmm. a little bit, but not at the cost of enjoying life and using their hard-earned money for mm-hmm. things that they enjoy. So, you know, talking about the latest iPhone 12, mm-hmm. like, people want to buy in Vietnam that phone the moment it's out.
I've been told in Vietnam, out of greater Southeast Asia, it's actually the number one buyer of iPhones by volume,
yeah.
despite not actually having an Apple store here, compared to countries like Indonesia, which yeah. is almost three times the size.
Yeah.
Singapore, which is much wealthier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a sign of the acceleration of this audience.
And
there's a saying out there, too, that Saigonese spend, Hanoians save.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the trend is fairly yeah. spot on for
it's
you guys
accurate.
As well.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
It's a matter for these companies now where pretty greenfield still, you could say, in terms of user acquisition and adoption of fintech. So.
Right.
You know, good luck to you guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've got a lot of marketing
yeah.
kind of challenges and opportunities ahead. So this also wraps up today's show, Manisha. We're going to keep it nice and tight this morning.
Nice.
I know we're both got a lot of challenges and opportunities to tackle this morning. So thank you for joining today's show, Manisha. We're super happy to have you. It's really rare to have these insights into fintech and banking, especially in English and in Vietnam. So grateful for sharing this morning. Any other kind of final words you might want to share? A little referral pitch, maybe?
Well, no. I think for those that know Timo, mm-hmm. You love it. If you don't, try it. I think a big part of what we've accomplished is that you can join digitally mm-hmm. and actually get the account opened without even coming to the branch.
Mm-hmm.
So EKYC is a big play for Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to the State Bank for making that happen. which only means that we're going to have pure play digital accounts in the next 3 to 5 years. So onward and upward.
Excellent. Well,
thank you.
Best wishes for Timo's growth and hitting those targets for you, Manisha. Again, thank you for joining today's latest episode of the Vietnam Innovator Series. I'm your host, Hao, and I'll see you next week. Check out the video version of our podcast on other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, and don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcast, and YouTube channel for more interesting content. We'd also like to give a big thanks to our sponsors, Geo Health, our launch partner in this new series. Geo is one of the must-watch innovators in the technology and healthcare space in Southeast Asia. They are best known for their doctor-at-home services, introducing the likes of a new smart clinic at M Plaza in Saigon. For those interested in watching the technology and healthcare space, they are definitely one of the ones to watch.